You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Happy Monday, everybody. A big victory Monday, rapid react episode. 49ers picking up their first victory of the season, beating the New York Jets 31-13, but it was a costly win. Numerous injuries for the 49ers that we will get into, what it means for the team, and the latest from Kyle Shanahan, a post-game about Nick Bosa, Jimmy Garoppolo, Solomon Thomas, and a number of players. And as always, I'll give out some game balls for week two. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching. And watch football I did for nearly 12 hours Sunday, the Sunday night football game just ending. Got to get this podcast out for you guys Monday morning. And I was collecting my thoughts throughout the rest of the day after the early 49ers game about what's going on with the team. And what a wild one that was in New York at MetLife Stadium. And it's odd that the story right now is almost the stadium, that turf at MetLife in New York, which the 49ers, by the way, will have to play on again next week against the New York Giants after they have a little layover in West Virginia and do their practice week there in West Virginia, come back to New York to play the Giants in week three. There it is, the unfortunate injury sounder. It takes a more ominous tone this week as the 49ers might have lost one of their best players, if not the best player on the team, most impactful player, second-year defensive end, Nick Bosa, who was, you know, in preseason conversations of guys who could be defensive player of the year in the NFL. Nick Bosa going down, holding his leg, carted off the field, and two plays later, it was Solomon Thomas who was carted off the field. Both guys are going to have MRIs and get double-checked on those knee injuries, but what it looks like right now, according to Kyle Shanahan post-game, is that very likely Nick Bosa did tear his ACL and is lost for the season, and it's somewhat likely, maybe slightly less likely, but still probably an ACL injury for Solomon Thomas as well. Those players would lose the rest of their 2020 seasons, and for Solomon Thomas, who's a free agent next year, maybe playing the last snap as a 49er. With Ford's injury history and Bosa now probably done for the year, the Niners' defensive end depth was bad anyway. They've got to go add somebody. They had a workout with Ziggy Ansah. I don't know how he's not signed already. Maybe he just is not in shape or is hurt, can't pass a physical, or wants too much money. I don't know what's going on, but Ziggy Ansah's got to be a 49er by the time that plane lands in West Virginia, right? So we should be able to hear something soon about Ziggy Ansah or maybe some other potential players that are on the street for the 49ers to add at defensive end, but that is definitely going to be a priority, I think, for the personnel department this week. Has to be. Not the only two players hurt in this game. Sort of a mystery knee injury for Raheem Mostert, who didn't come back after halftime. I didn't see him get hurt during the action. I don't know if I missed it. Kyle Shanahan sounded like it wasn't a big deal after the game, but then reported by Jason Lockenfora was that it was a sprained MCL, so that could be a problem for the 49ers' best running back right now. And then their quarterback also goes down, Jimmy Garoppolo. That is, according to Shanahan, a high ankle sprain. So Jimmy Garoppolo may or may not be able to play next week. It's sounding more and more like it will be Nick Mullins again, who played the second half of this game, the starter, at least for one more week in New York against the Giants. So Niners already obviously without George Kittle, Richard Sherman on IR for a few weeks. Debo Samuel has at least one more week on IR. D Ford was not out there today dealing with a neck injury, neck spasms throughout the week. So the 49ers are really up against it right now. Five of their six best players, most important players, aren't going to be out there next week. That's tough. That's a tough thing to overcome for any team. The 49ers were able to overcome it, luckily playing what has to be, right, the worst team in the NFL right now, in the New York Jets. And they won it handily, even with all of that going on, 31-13. Jimmy Garoppolo replaced at halftime. He gutted it out and had a really nice game, actually, through the first half, replaced by Nick Mullins, who came in and finished it off. But, I mean, and I guess we got to start there, because let's start with what happened on the field. You know, not focusing too much on who's not going to be there next week, and we'll find out more later on this week with MRIs and exactly what the prognosis is for those injured 49ers. But let's start with the quarterback, because Jimmy Garoppolo needed to have a good game here, and he needed to show that week one wasn't normal Jimmy. And I think we all knew that Jimmy Garoppolo played really bad in week one, and that wasn't something that we expected to continue going forward. And there are some Jimmy Garoppolo haters. There are some people who are really team Jimmy as well. And I think they were fighting throughout the last week. I think everyone is in agreement now that it's not good for the 49ers if Jimmy Garoppolo is hurt, and that he had a nice little game. And it was pretty awesome to see him gut out that ankle injury and play really well and put the 49ers up big at halftime, so they could feel pretty good in the second half going with their backup quarterback. Quinnen Williams, by the way, had a really good game for the New York Jets, the guy who was selected right after Nick Bosa in the 2019 draft. And I don't know if it's the 49ers interior or offensive line that helped him out, but he was in the backfield quite often. And whether it was Jimmy Garoppolo or Nick Mullins, they were under pressure quite a bit up the middle in this game. And interior pressure has been a problem. But Jimmy Garoppolo got his right ankle taped after coming up lame. I think it was the 49ers' second drive of the game when he got hurt. Later on, he kind of looked okay rolling out, so I thought, oh, it was nothing. He got taped up, and he's good. But then he started to limp really bad throughout the second quarter. But some impressive drives there in the second quarter by Jimmy Garoppolo, even with that ankle hurting. Hitting Jordan Reed early and often in that game, he ended up catching six passes for the 49ers, including two touchdowns, as the Niners went up 21-3, I believe it was, at halftime. 21-3. Yeah, they're up three scores. Jimmy Garoppolo only had two balls hit the ground. 14 of 16, 131 yards, and those two touchdown passes to Jordan Reed. A 140.4 quarterback rating. So, nice. Good on you. Jimmy Garoppolo had a nice little game against a really bad, I mean, just a really bad Jets defense and a Jets team. That team is awful. They're worse than they were last year, and they weren't good last year. Obviously, they lost their best player in Jamal Adams, so that hurts. Adam Gase is absolutely going to be the first coach that's fired this year. They have an atrocious, maybe worst defensive coordinator in the league in Greg Williams, who's a complete fraud, and someone who I actually dislike, which is rare about people in the league. He's someone that's like is easy for me to root against. Don't like anything about Greg Williams. But yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo, nice bounce back game, replaced by Nick Mullins, who was 8 of 11 for 71 yards, had an interception that went off the hands of Jerick McKinnon. I really feel like that ball needs to be caught when it hits your hands, even though ball placement might not have been perfect there. But Nick Mullins, actually, one thing I love about Nick Mullins is he's fearless. He comes into the game and he's like, all right, let's go. And he's looking downfield. Like, he wants the big play. He wants to make the big throw. And he got stuck in like a 3rd and 31 situation on one of his first drives, but the 49ers got out of it. And this was just, it just goes to show you how bad the Jets were to give up a 3rd and 31 to Jerick McKinnon, who made a really nice cutback move and rumbled 55 yards for a first down. The Niners would go down and kick a field goal. That was a pretty amazing play for multiple reasons. First of all, it's 3rd and 31. No teams like that. You fire people. Like, if I was the owner of the Jets, I might have said, hey, hold on, we're going to burn a timeout right now, and I'm going to give this headset to somebody else, because you can't have that. And like that, there was a few high school plays that happened in that game. One was the 49ers' very first play from scrimmage, and the other was that 3rd and 31. That's just not something you can give up. Are the 49ers going to be okay if Nick Mullins has to play for a few weeks? I think it's clear that Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Nick Mullins. I know there's some people out there that think Nick Mullins is amazing. He's actually even better secretly than Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, you can see him try to push the ball outside to the sideline and outside the numbers. He's just physically not as good as Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think there are some things to like about Nick Mullins' game. I think if he had a full week to prepare and, you know, has a chance to play next week, I think the Niners will definitely have an opportunity to win the game. I like Nick Mullins as a backup quarterback, but he definitely doesn't give the 49ers a better shot to win than even bad Jimmy. Maybe at his best is better than bad Jimmy at his worst, obviously. But the 49ers will be okay for a couple weeks. There's there's a really, really rough stretch of games for the 49ers mid-season, really mid-season all the way through the end of the season. But the Niners have to, aside from Nick Bosa, and they have the opportunity to get healthy. Jets next week, then the Eagles in prime time. The Eagles 0-2 look like a mess right now. Then you have the Miami Dolphins, who might be one of the worst teams in the league right there with the New York Jets. Then it gets very difficult. But through week six, the 49ers have an opportunity to get Debo back, get Jimmy Garoppolo back 100%, have Brandon Ayuk ingrained fully into the offense as a rookie. He only got two passes on Sunday. Get Richard Sherman back. Pretty much everybody but Bosa that's really important for the team would be back on the field by week seven, when they make this run of games that's the gauntlet: Rams, Patriots, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Rams again, Bills. Washington should be a fairly easy game in there, but then it's Cowboys and Cardinals and Seahawks, and that ends the season. Like, it does not get very, like, there's one game that's like, okay, that's a pretty cake game in that entire stretch from week seven on. So the 49ers have six games in this season to get things right, get as healthy as they can, minus Nick Bosa, and get ready to play and have a full complement of offensive and defensive weapons throughout the rest of the season. All right, more on the 49ers. How did they play? I want to talk about the running game, Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon. I want to talk about some players on the defensive side of the ball coming up. Locked On 49ers. Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders, they call us by name, always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support, so now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. By the way, did you see Eric Armstead's comments on Twitter right after the game? Like, the first thing he did is went straight to his locker, got his phone, and he tweeted out, at NFL, fix this trash MetLife turf. 2020 is so whack. And according to NFL.com's Diana Rossini, there was like a lot of talk going on with the 49ers, and she was texting with some of them, and they were like anxious and maybe didn't even want to play on that field again in week three. Like, it's in their head, and I could see why. I mean, players were dropping like flies, and Kyle Shanahan said it was like their feet were sticking in the grass too much, and that was causing these players to get their feet caught underneath them. That happened on Garoppolo's ankle injury. It happened on Bosa's ACL, hoping it's not an ACL, but most likely ACL injury. If it truly was just a bad turf, I mean, I'm with them. Like, why would you want to go play on that again? You would have to at least contact the league about it and try to do something, get the game moved, or, I mean, contemplating forfeiting. I put the question out on Twitter. Would you have rather taken the loss and not seen the team go out there and have those injuries, specifically Nick Bosa? And it was astounding. Everybody's like, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. I would have taken the L easily to not have that Bosa injury happen. And so that's something the 49ers have to consider. And they probably won't, but I mean, I think they'd have most of the fan base behind them being like, yeah, we're not going to go do that again. Like, we're not going to lose that many players again. We're not going to do it if it is truly the turf that's causing all of it. I mean, it's not going to happen, and the league's not going to do anything about it. I think the 49ers are going to have to go play. Maybe different shoes. Maybe that now that they've played on it, go out there and play in just sneakers, you know, if cleats are too much and you're getting caught, get your feet caught underneath you. I don't remember there being a huge deal about it in week one, Monday night, Steelers and Giants. I'm going to ask my co-host, who covers the Steelers very closely, Matt Williamson, on the Peacock and Williamson show Monday morning when we get together. I'm going to ask him about that. It would seem that it would have affected that game as well. And I know there was some injuries in that game, but nothing as severe as what was going on with this 49ers Jets game. And numerous Jets were hurt too. You can't be, players are too valuable and their careers are too valuable to go out there and play on a turf that's truly unsafe. And it's easy to blame just the turf, and the turf was definitely part of it, but there were an absurd number of injuries throughout the league on Sunday, more than I can remember. Maybe I was just paying more attention, but I mean, maybe it's a factor. I mean, I think it has to be a factor with some of these soft tissue injuries and players maybe not being in peak shape to be playing football with no preseason games, with the less than ideal conditions throughout the offseason, like these offseason programs, a lot of people lifting weights, but not playing enough football. maybe not practicing enough football. I mean, I think that has to lend to some of the injuries that are going on around the league, and maybe some bodies weren't ready for the full pounding of a regular season. So that's definitely something to monitor with the 49ers and every team in every stadium going forward this year. By the way, the thing that we thought was going to be the problem this year with COVID-19, there have been zero now for two straight weeks, positive tests on Saturdays for players to have that positive test, not be able to play in their games Sunday. So maybe we have a new thing to worry about as far as health when it comes to football players, because whatever protocols are in place seem to be working right now. Get on the players for not screwing around and messing that up. Let's talk Raheem Mostert.
That's a bad mofo, you know.
Who every single game that goes by is becomes more clear and more clear that he is the best running back on the team, and it's not really close. And I know there's the thought that running backs are interchangeable in Kyle Shanahan's offense, and I'm guilty of saying that, and I think it's mostly true. The 49ers were fine on the ground for the entire game, even after Mostert was out. Trent Williams, after the game, said he's the closest thing he's seen to Chris Johnson. We're talking CJ2K that he's seen in the league, and asked what he saw in that opening run, that 80-yard touchdown run by Raheem Mostert. He said he just saw red blur. I mean, that's who Raheem Mostert is. He is the blur. And he just took it, and this was a high school play. This is what you see in high school games. One player is faster than everybody else, takes a toss, and just runs around everybody. Nobody can touch him, takes it the distance, right? That's exactly what that play was for Raheem Mostert. So obviously bad Jets defense, but run defense has been the one thing that they were supposed to be good at. And Raheem made him look silly multiple times. One of them called back. He had another long run. He should have had 150 yards, at least close to 200 yards rushing in this game in one half of work. He only carried the ball 18 times for 92 yards, and I was looking for the stat. I can't find it now, but it was something like you have to go all the way back to Jim Brown to find the last time someone had two plays that were as long as his 75-yarder last week and his 80-yard run this week in the first two games of a season. Here's what, I mean, he had a couple of catches as well for 15 yards, but here's what's a little bit frustrating, and I mean, look, Mostert got hurt, so maybe it shouldn't be frustrating, but he had the 80-yard touchdown run. The next series, the 49ers had the ball. He wasn't in there. What are you doing? He only touched the ball one time. I'm sure he's a little bit tired from running 80 yards, but get the guy a rhythm. Put him back in there. Tevin Coleman replaced him on the second series for some reason, which I didn't really get that. The Niners did go 3-and-out on that series, which was the series that Jimmy Garoppolo, I believe, got hurt. Yeah, nearly identical run that Mostert broke the second time, outrunning everybody to the end zone. It's funny seeing safeties. George Kittle does this too, because safeties don't expect George Kittle to be so fast, and he'll hit that extra gear when he's running after the catch, and safety's like, oh, crap, okay, this guy can actually run. Raheem Mostert, it's another level, obviously, but they think they have an angle on him, and he just goes, and he's like, oh, I'm just not even going to, not only am I not going to tackle him, I'm not going to get my fingertips on this guy. Watching him run in Kyle Shanahan's offense is awesome. I mean, like, he's going to be a star player if he's able to get the full workload that he should get in this offense all season long. By the way, it was a holding on Mike McGlinchey that brought Mostert's second long touchdown run back. And I don't think we should get necessarily worried about Mike McGlinchey, but his pass protection is the thing that has been a little bit worrisome. And really, everybody on the offensive line, aside from Trent Williams, this season. I think Laken Tomlinson was really good in week one, and he was mostly pretty good in this game, but he did give up the sack where Garoppolo got hurt, and obviously the injury is not on Laken Tomlinson, but he got beat on that play. It was just one of those that stood out for me. But Mike McGlinchey is the one that was supposed to be good, and like, okay, well, he's a rock over there. We don't have to worry about our tackles. It's the interior, but McGlinchey hasn't been great either. Third quarter, the cutback from Jerick McKinnon. Beautiful work there. I love seeing Jerick McKinnon out there, and he's not worried about the knee. Like there's 100% trust in his knee, which I love from him. Now, there's a gear he used to have that he doesn't have anymore as far as long speed goes. And look, the Jets are super bad. He shouldn't have been able to rattle off a 55-yard run on 3rd and 31, but he had a really nice cutback there, and he's patient, and there's some vision, and his lateral movement skills and his short area burst, they're definitely still there. He just doesn't have that long speed, that 4.3 speed he used to have pre-ACL. And it was very similar on his fourth quarter. He also ran out of gas on that 55-yard run. Aside from, he was going to get run down anyway, but he like really just ran out of gas. And I've seen that more from 49ers players too, which also has to do, I'm sure, with this offseason and lack of preseason. I think stamina has been an issue with multiple players I've noticed this season. That's not something you really see with NFL players that often, where it's super noticeable. It's like, this guy's tired. But McKinnon's fourth quarter touchdown run, again, showing the quicks to find space and vision. Then, that burst, then finding the pylon, getting into the end zone, really seems to trust the knee, which is the best sign for Jerick McKinnon's health. And he's going to be a really valuable third down back because he's a passing down back. I love his skills to be able to split out and run all the pass routes, and he's pretty good in protection. But again, like Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon, I don't think are or should be any threat to Raheem Mostert carrying as much load as he can handle this season at running back. But nice, a nice rotation to have behind Mostert. And then, of course, put McKinnon in there on every third down because that's his skill set, and that's why you brought him in. And by the way, that last touchdown run from McKinnon put the Niners up 31-6. Let's talk about Brandon Ayuk's first NFL game, talk about Fred Warner, Frank Gore, and more coming up. Locked On 49ers and game balls. I got to give out some game balls too. You know who always gets a game ball? Built Bar. When you're watching nearly 12 hours of football, I know I make it sound like this really difficult task, right? I love how I'll be all, hey, you know what, honey? Sorry, I'm working right now. You don't have time to run around and pick up food or cook a bunch of stuff. I cooked up some breakfast, but between games, between the morning and afternoon games, what do? You need a little snack? You go grab a Built Bar. Built Bar is great for a health conscious guy, lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, even great for a keto diet. You want to go peanut butter flavor? My favorite, 19 grams of protein, only 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. You want to go cookies and cream? 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. It's a protein bar. It tastes like a candy bar. Breakfast, a snack, keep you going. Whenever you need it, go find a Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. That's BuiltBar.com. Tons of great flavors. Build your own box. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Last week, Friday's episode, I chronicled every single snap in first-round defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw's debut. This film Friday, Brandon Ayuk's going to get the same treatment. I've got to go back, all 22 film, coaches' angles, see every snap of Brandon Ayuk, because he didn't make a big impact right on Sunday, but I just want to see what he looked like. Was he getting open? How was he doing versus press coverage? And Shanahan after the game said, yeah, he did good. He made a couple of rookie mistakes, as expected, but had a nice debut. Didn't flash a ton in this game, so that's why I want to go back and really focus on just him every snap and see what he looked like out there. But made a couple of nice little plays after the catch. First career catch, end of the first quarter, third down conversion. Love to see him rolling out with Jimmy, making himself available to bail Jimmy out. Jimmy finds Ayuk for his first reception, which was 8 yards and a first down. His second catch didn't come until the fourth quarter. It was a misdirection, which I love, scheming some stuff up for him. He was coming back across the formation behind the line of scrimmage, breaks a tackle after catching the ball near the line of scrimmage. Ended up being a 13-yard gain, showing some of that yak that the 49ers loved so much when they drafted him. So two catches, both of them went for first downs. Wasn't heavily targeted. 3 targets, 2 catches. I mean, the wide receivers haven't been very much involved in the offense at all this season. I think he will have a lot more targets coming his way. But looks good out there. Looks quick. I want to go back and watch some of the plays when he wasn't targeted and see what he looked like out there in his first NFL action. Kendrick Bourne leading the wide receivers. 4 catches, 67 yards. Had the nice 24-yarder. Making a little play after the catch. I mean, Kendrick Bourne is, like, I always talk about him. He's like, look, he's consistent. He's safe. Like, he'll go out there, he'll get open and catch the ball. It doesn't really give you much deep. Doesn't really give you much after the catch. But occasionally it's nice to see him make a play. And he definitely did make a play out there. On that one, Jordan Reed, I mentioned, led all 49ers with 7 receptions and 50 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Trent Taylor, 3 targets, 2 catches, 10 yards. Very Trent Taylor-ish line there. Two things I noticed with the wide receivers that didn't show up in the box score. One is that I think I only saw Mohamed Sanu on the field one time. It was a run play, too, and so they brought him in just to a blocker, I guess. I don't know why that was. And maybe he was in some other plays. I just didn't notice it. But on the sideline, Mohamed Sanu was talking with Kendrick Bourne and like giving him advice. And I think that's such a big thing that the 49ers were missing if Sanu doesn't do anything else except for just act like a veteran wide receiver who's been around a little bit and help out some of the other guys, especially the rookie in Ayuk and the second-year guy in Debo. Because I know Debo, that just helped him so much last year having Emmanuel Sanders around. So I think it's a good move to bring in someone like Mohamed Sanu who can not only participate in the offense but help the young guys along and be a little bit of a mentor and just be someone who's been around the league and give some pointers. It was awesome to see him doing that. And I think it's definitely something the 49ers were going to miss. And I don't know why they didn't have someone that's more like Mohamed Sanu on the roster already, because it's important. And I think it's going to be a good role for him. And I think he's going to be involved in the offense probably a lot more next week. But they didn't need him much here, and he didn't play in the second half because they didn't need him to play. And then the other thing I noticed with wide receivers was, I was like, I had to double check. I was like, Dante Pettis is active, right? Because he definitely barely sniffed the field. At the end of the game in the fourth quarter, he was out there catching a punt. And he fielded the punt. I was like, oh, there we go. Dante Pettis is on the field. Dante Pettis sighting. And then he started to trot back out on the field. And he had this look on his face, or maybe I'm projecting a little bit, but he was kind of jogging off the field and he stopped. And he's like, oh, yeah, the scrubs are in. I have to stay on the field. Like, the backups are in now. It was that time of the game when the 49ers just pretty much wholesale put all of their reserve players and all their backups in, and Dante Pettis was that now. And like, so that's what he started. He had his chance. He started in week one. Now he's back to being that guy. And I kind of felt bad for him a little bit because he started to jog off the field. Like, yeah, this is garbage time. And now I'm a garbage time player. So a little bit of a sad moment that I kind of noticed there. Maybe that's not at all what was going through Dante Pettis' head, but. On defense, the star of the show was definitely Fred Warner. He was an animal. He was everywhere. He had 10 tackles in just the first half, had the fourth down stop. Looking at the box score, he doesn't have a tackle for loss, but wasn't the fourth down stop in the first half, wasn't that behind the line of scrimmage? I thought he should have had a TFL for that one. But ended up with 12 tackles. He was all over the place, and he was coming with intentions too, right? Did it seem like he was a little bit amped up, like he wanted to hit somebody pretty hard? I got that vibe from Fred Warner, and I think maybe that loss in week one ticked him off a little bit. I loved the way Warner was flying around the field. Kerry Hyder, active once again, had to play a big role after the 49ers lost both D Ford from the start of the game and then Nick Bosa early on. Javon Kinlaw, again, seeing a lot of what I saw in my breakdown from Friday's Film Friday episode. Go back and check that out. I mean, that's who Javon Kinlaw is right now. He's powerful and he's raw, and he gives effort. Like, he gives effort. Like, he's racing out there to tackle somebody on a screen pass from the defensive tackle position. So he definitely wants it, and he gets after it as much as he can and plays with violence and plays with effort, which you love to see. And real quick note about the cover guys at corner. How quickly, by the way, Jimmy Ward flying around as well in this game, but I want to focus on corner because Emmanuel Mosley had a couple of passes defensed. He wasn't targeted as nearly as much this week with no Richard Sherman as he was last week, being the guy opposite of Sherman, who tends to get very heavily targeted in this defense, and playing a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, much easier task this week. Played pretty well, broke up a couple of passes. There was the pass interference where you just got to get your head around there, and then, you know, made a nice play on the sideline late in the game where he pushed the receiver out of bounds. I believe, was that Perryman that time? Pushed him out of bounds. He could have probably broken on that sooner, just knowing that they're trying to throw for a first down right there at the sticks, but he was still there and broke up the play. So I really liked what I saw from Emmanuel Mosley, bounce back game, even though I don't think he didn't play as bad as what the stat line looked, I think, last week. Maybe should be a little bit worried about Keller Witherspoon, though. He just doesn't grind, right? He doesn't grind through the play. Sometimes it's just like lackadaisical. It's like, oh man, that's a play you should be able to make, and he doesn't make it. There was that late, by the way, that was an amazing throw, actually. Darnold's touchdown pass that was on, it was a broken play, so that's hard because you got to cover a guy for a really long time. But that throw that Darnold made running left and then throwing it back right was a dart, like right on target. I tweeted this out during the game. I mean, I would have no problems if the 49ers brought in Sam Darnold next year is a developmental backup behind Jimmy Garoppolo when the Jets go whatever they go, 0-16 or whatever it is, because this team's bad. They're going to draft Trevor Lawrence, number one overall. Sam Darnold, that's an interesting one there. I would definitely give him a shot because there's absolutely talent there, and he's had one of the worst landing spots a rookie quarterback could have there. in New York because they've changed coaches. Their roster is awful. I mean, how do you develop a quarterback in that environment? So Sam Darnold definitely deserves a change of scenery. We'll probably get it if the Jets end up with that number one overall pick, or even with the, you know, one of the top three picks, where there's a few quarterbacks that could be worthy of going that high in this year's draft. By the way, Sam Darnold, I mean, this is how young he was coming into the league. I don't think he'd even buy a beer when he was drafted. He's still 6 months younger than this year's number one overall pick in Joe Burrow. So that's how young of a guy he was coming into the league. Still time for Sam Darnold to develop a little more, get in a better environment. Okay, almost out of time here. Really quick, some game balls. I mentioned Fred Warner. I think player of the game for me was Fred Warner, the way he flew around on defense. I mean, he was everywhere. Love seeing that from Fred Warner. So he absolutely gets a game ball. Raheem Mostert had such a big play. Gave him a game ball last week. I'm going to bypass the game ball for Raheem. Knockout punch. That was awesome. Just seeing him fly. Like, you're not catching this dude. Sorry. I want to see the miles per hour, by the way, because he had the fastest miles per hour in week one as a ball carrier on his touchdown reception of the last three seasons. He had to be going pretty darn fast this week too, maybe even faster. So I want to see what the miles per hour were. I have not seen that yet from Next Gen Stats. And my final game ball for the 49ers is Jimmy Garoppolo. Showed guts. He was hurt. You know, they're a bad Jets team, a bad defense. So the stats alone, 14 of 16, he averaged 8.2 yards per throw, a couple of touchdowns, 140 rating. That's all great. But him doing it on a bad ankle, gutting it out, you know, he didn't want to come out of the game playing through the pain, leading the 49ers to a win. And they had that game in hand at halftime by the time he was out of there. Props to Jimmy Garoppolo for bouncing back this week and not folding. And I expected it. Nice little game there from Jimmy Garoppolo playing hurt. You love to see that. I'm going to give a game ball to Frank Gore, too. I gave a game ball to one of the Cardinals players last week because they deserved it. I'm going to give a game ball to Frank Gore. 21 carries, 63 yards. He was the offense for... Chris Hogan had a nice little game there. He got six passes for 75 yards. Also got hurt, by the way, another player injured. Frank Gore not injured. He tore two ACLs in college. He's done with the ACL business. He was carrying the load for a bad New York Jets team. I love that that Frank Gore is still playing, even if it is for a bad football team. I wouldn't have been upset if he'd have got a late garbage touchdown or anything like that either, because Frank Gore is awesome. 3 yards per carry, 21 carries for 63 yards. Frank Gore, play forever, my man. Keep it going. All right, big news to come Tuesday. We'll find out more information on all of the injuries that the 49ers suffered in week two, and I will field your questions. Hit me on Twitter, @BDPeacock. Whatever's on your mind. Got a Winky Wednesday coming up this week, a crossover Thursday, and a film Friday. And then we're back at it again in week three against the New York Giants. Have it all covered right here, Locked On 49ers.